All right, buckle up because we're going deep on ServiceStack's V8.4 release.
It's a big one.
It really is. There's some seriously cool stuff in here for .NET devs.
Yeah.
But for me, the standout has got to be background jobs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they really nailed it this time. Effortless queuing, recurring tasks, the works, and you know what the kicker is. No more wrestling with complex infrastructure to get it all working.
Always a win.
Seriously. It's like one of those head-slapping, why didn't I think of that moments. But here's where it gets even more interesting. Ready for this? They're using SQLite to power the whole background job system.
Now that's thinking outside the database.
Right. I mean, we all know and love SQLite. It's like that trusty pocket knife.
Yeah.
But can it handle the heavy lifting of a full-blown background job system? That's what we're going to find out today.
It's be fun.
We're diving straight into the V8 UN4.MD release notes. The official ones.
Mm-hmm.
No speculation here. Just pure developer goodness straight from the source.
Love it when we get into the nuts and bolts.
Me too.
Oh.
And the approach they're taking using SQLite like this, it's pretty bold, right? It's like they're challenging the status quo, saying you don't always need these massive, complicated databases to build something reliable and scalable.
Makes you think.
It really does. Because when you get down to it, background jobs, they're all about developer productivity in the end, right?
Absolutely. Got to streamline that workflow.
Exactly. We want to be spending our time on the core logic of our applications, not fighting with infrastructure, battling dependencies.
Preach. And that's where the SQLite approach really shines. It's all about elegance and efficiency.
So no more cobbling together cron jobs and custom task runners just to keep things chugging along in the background.
Nope, this is the real deal. Durable background tasks that can survive an app restart without skipping a beat. And the flexibility they built in, chef's kiss, let me tell you.
Oh, do tell.
So you could queue up calls to your existing ServiceStack APIs, no problem. But if you want to get really granular, really specific with your background logic, they've got these new commands.
Commands, huh?
Yeah, think of them like pre-packaged units of logic all set up to be queued and executed reliably. But we'll come back to commands later. They deserve their own deep dive.
Agreed. And speaking of keeping things organized and under control, I noticed something about a built-in admin UI for managing these background jobs. Visual monitoring, am I dreaming?
Nope, it's all there. Real-time monitoring, retry failed jobs. You've got full visibility into what's happening behind the scenes.
Music to my ears.
Right. They clearly put a lot of thought into making this whole system as developer-friendly as possible. But okay, let's talk about the scale it in the room.
Yeah, I'm still trying to wrap my head around that. Don't get me wrong, I love me some scale it, but how are they using it to power these background jobs and scale them effectively? It seems counterintuitive.
That's the beauty of what they've done. It's not just about swapping out one database for another. They're really embracing what makes SQLite great and applying it across their entire architecture.
Interesting.
You see it with the background job, sure, but also with the optional request logging they've built in, even the way they're handling database archives. It's SQLite all the way down.
So they're not just using it. They're really leaning into its strengths.
Precisely. And the results speak for themselves. They've actually managed to improve performance in areas like their logging UI just by leveraging SQLite's speed.
That's impressive.
It really is. They looked at SQLite, a tool often relegated to smaller projects, and saw an opportunity to challenge those perceptions.
Okay, so they're using SQLite for logging, which makes sense. But we're still talking about background jobs here, potentially handling tons of data, tons of requests. How are they managing that? Because let's be honest, SQLite isn't exactly known for its concurrency handling.
Great question. And that's where their approach gets really interesting. We'll get into the specifics in the next part of our deep dive.
I can't wait. So last time, we left off with ServiceStack pulling some slick moves with SQLite in their latest release.
Yeah, they're really pushing the boundaries of what people think is possible with it.
And I'm here for it. But I'm still a little fuzzy on how they're tackling the scalability question.
Yeah.
Especially with SQLite's rep for not loving concurrency.
Right, right. Well, picture this. Remember how we talked about SQLite being like that trusty pocket knife?
Sure.
Well, imagine you've got a whole set of those pocket knives, each one fine-tuned for a specific purpose. That's basically the first layer of their strategy, using multiple SQLite databases.
Ah, okay. So instead of one massive SQLite database trying to juggle everything, they're dividing and conquering. That makes sense for performance, I guess, but does that really solve the concurrency problem? Isn't SQLite still single writer at heart?
You're not wrong. But here's the thing. By spreading the data out like this, across multiple databases, they're seriously reducing the chances of multiple processes needing to write to the same database at the same time. background job data over here, request logs over there, user data somewhere else entirely. It's all about minimizing those traffic jams.
Okay, less congestion, smoother sailing.
Yeah.
I'm with you so far. But let's be real, there are going to be situations where multiple processes need to access the same database at the same time. How does Service Stack handle that?
That's where the magic really happens. They've got this whole system of database locks and what they call sync commands to keep everything playing nice.
Okay, database locks. So they're using the file system to prevent conflicts, right? Makes sense. But doesn't that just create a different kind of bottleneck? I'm picturing a whole line of processes stuck waiting for their turn to access the database. Not exactly a recipe for blazing fast performance.
I hear you. That's a valid concern. And this is where those sync commands I mentioned come in. Think of them like a really, really organized bouncer at the database door, only letting one process make changes at a time, but keeping things moving smoothly.
So even in a scenario with a ton of concurrent access, this approach makes sure the data stays safe and sound without sacrificing performance.
Exactly. They've thought of everything.
It's kind of brilliant when you break it down like that.
Right. And here's the best part. They're not just talking the talk. They're actually using this Souqlite-powered setup in their own applications.
Get out of here.
No, seriously. Even for some pretty complex projects, including stuff with AI.
You're talking about things like Blazor Diffusion for image generation and that PVQ.app thing that uses large language models. That's next level stuff.
Yep. It's one thing to use Squalllite for, like a simple note-taking app. But they're pushing the limits here.
So Blazor Diffusion uses those AI models, the diffusion models, to create images from text prompts.
Yeah.
Right? It's like having a digital artist at your beck and call.
Exactly. But instead of paintbrushes and easels, they're using algorithms and data. And then you've got PVQ.app, which is all about harnessing the power of those large language models, kind of like ChatGPT, to give you super accurate answers to technical questions.
It's almost like they're saying, hey, look, if we could build these crazy complex data-heavy apps with Squalllite running the show, just imagine what you could do.
100%. It's really about challenging those preconceived notions, those assumptions we make about tools, and realizing that something like Souqlite can be way more powerful than we give it credit for, especially when you use it strategically.
All right, so we've covered a ton of ground with Service Stack V8.4, the background jobs, the Squalllite deep dive.
It's a lot to unpack.
It is. But there's one more thing I want to get into before we wrap up. Those commands they keep mentioning. Intriguing, but kind of mysterious.
Oh, yeah. The commands, they're kind of the unsung heroes of this whole background job system.
Unsung heroes. You got to give me more than that.
Think of it this way. Remember those AI projects we talked about? Blazor Diffusion, PVQ.app? Commands are a big part of what makes those complex apps tick.
Okay, now I'm really curious. Give me the breakdown. What makes commands so special?
In a nutshell, a command is like a self-contained unit of work, like a tiny program within your program. It basically encapsulates all the logic, all the steps needed to perform a specific task. Let's say you're building an e-commerce app and you need to process an order, right? You'd create a process order command that handles everything, payment validation, reserving inventory, sending out those confirmation emails, the whole shebang.
So instead of having that order processing logic scattered all over your code base, it's neatly bundled up in this reusable command.
Exactly. It makes everything so much cleaner and easier to manage. And because commands are designed to work hand in hand with the background job system, you get all those benefits we talked about.
Yeah.
Durability, automatic retries, easy monitoring through that admin UI.
Right. So it's not just about organization. It's about building systems that are robust, that can handle whatever you throw at them.
Exactly. Oh, and I almost forgot. Remember we mentioned that commands are inspectable.
Yeah, it rings a bell, but I'm not sure I fully grasp what they meant by that.
It's basically like having a built-in audit log for your app's critical processes.
Fancy.
Basically, if you need to debug a complex workflow, you can easily track the execution of each step, see what data was passed in, pinpoint any bottlenecks or errors. It's a lifesaver.
It's like they combine the best parts of modular design and asynchronous programming into this really elegant solution for managing these complex tasks.
Right. And that's what's so cool about this Service Stack release. Whether it's the Souqlite thing, the focus on developer productivity with background jobs, or these commands, they're giving us the tools to build better software, plain and simple. More resilient, easier to maintain, more scalable, all that good stuff.
It really is a testament to the power of thinking differently, challenging those assumptions we often make about the tools we use.
Couldn't agree more. Service Stack is showing us that something like Souqlite can be incredibly powerful when used the right way.
And that's a wrap on another deep dive. We've given you the map. Now it's your turn to explore. Go forth and build amazing things. Happy coding!